What a wonderful job, choir and drama as well. You know, I love a warm fire, and you guys can turn those lights on if you'd like back there. I actually have a fire pit out back of my house, and I love to sit around it, you know, read, do a variety of things. It brings warmth, it brings a calmness, sometimes it brings joy. But fire can do something different, can it? As we learned in the play tonight, it can destroy. When I was 17, our home burnt down. And I can tell you, that's a really unnerving feeling. It was the age before cell phones, so it was not easy to get in touch with people. My mom and dad were both out of range, if you will, and so the fire department ended up calling me at the school that I was going to and asked me to come out to our home. And so I was actually the first family member on the property, and there's your home with water pouring out the edges, and then eventually I walked through what was a charred bedroom. And not only was it an eerie feeling to go through your home being burnt and your bed and all that being there, but initially they believe that it was started by someone else. They believe it was arson. They never proved that. And to make matters worse, initially one of the top people on the suspect list was my mother. And she had actually been at the house that day. They could tell by the tire tracks in the driveway. My mom used to take what she called Brenda days. That's my mother's name. And she would not tell anybody where she was going. She wouldn't tell anybody that she wasn't going. She would just disappear. And that was one of her days. It happened to be the last one she took like that. I'll just tell you that. But it was an unusual time in our life. Now, for us, ultimately, with a few exceptions, the fire turned out so much better because my dad had actually already sold the home. And what the man that he was buying it from, or the man that was buying it from my dad, sold it for, my dad got far more money than that out of it. So he was able to pay that man and still made money on top of it. We got a bunch of new stuff out of it. We're actually in the process of moving, so most of our sentimental things weren't destroyed. My mom lost a wooden spice set that my grandparents had given her. Those of you that have lived a little longer probably remember those. They came in a wooden circle, and then each spice can had a little wooden can. It's a beautiful set. You know, in the Word of God, the Bible actually talks about fire in a number of ways. Really, two ways the Bible talks about fire. One is a punishment, and one is a purification. Now, in Luke chapter 16, the Bible tells us a story of a man who died, and the Bible says that he went to hell. You're like, oh, wait a minute. This is Christmas. We're not actually supposed to be talking about that subject, right? Did you know Christmas is about that subject? Because actually the reason that Jesus came to die on this earth was to redeem us from a place called hell. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hell was not created originally for people. It was created for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want anyone to go there, but we choose to sometimes when we reject Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible says that the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched there in a place called hell. Matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus came to offer redemption to mankind. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, for the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. For God so loved the world that he gave. And friend, I want to tell you tonight, I don't know your spiritual condition, but the reason that Jesus came at Christmas is to redeem us from our own sin. That's the whole point of it. And so fire can be a punishment, though that's not what God really wants. He would rather you let Him take your punishment. But not only can fire be a punishment, but it can be a purifier. If we jump to the Old Testament, we find a story in Daniel chapter 3 of three Hebrew children. We typically know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were three of Daniel's friends, and these men decided to take a stand for God on a plane when it was not an airplane, but another kind of plane. When the king was saying, either bow or else. And they said, well, we're not going to bow because we believe that'd be disobedient to God. And so the king throws them into a burning fiery furnace. The Bible tells us that it was heated 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Typically, those things were somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 degrees. So you can do a little bit of math and figure out it was really, really hot. Right? He bound them up and he threw them in the midst of this fire. But if you've ever heard this story before, you know that I didn't bother them. Matter of fact, eventually the king says in just a few moments, didn't we throw 3 guys in there? But there's actually 4. And one looks like the Son of God. And they're no longer bound, but they're loose. And they're not trying to get out. They're walking around in there. And so he eventually goes and says, hey, you guys come out. It's a wonderful story. I'm sure it wasn't exactly wonderful at the beginning for those guys. They didn't know what the end result would be. Fire can be a punishment, but it can be a purifier. I want to give you just a couple of truths tonight about this. Did you know that it was in the fire that God met them? It was in the fire that the king said, there are 4 men walking. And the fourth, well, it looks like the Son of God. Nobody would choose to have their home burnt, especially on Christmas Eve, right? But as Hope so eloquently said, I don't think I would trade going back for all that God has taught us. You know, I'm convinced that these guys would not have traded this experience. They met God there. But number two, it was the fire that allowed their faith to become sight. Because they stood before the king and said, King, I want you to understand something. God is able to deliver us one way or the other. He's going to deliver us out of your hand. Either here or there, he's going to deliver us. But if not, we're not bowing. It's not going to happen. And it's in the midst of this fire that they actually, their faith became sight. Not only did they get to actually physically walk with Jesus, but they could say, he delivered us. They walked out of the fire. They communed with the king. The third truth that we see from this fire is, it was in the fire that God was made known to others. It was in the fire that the king said, the fourth looks like the Son of God. And at the end of the story, he says, I'm going to make a declaration. There's no God like their God. And you ought to serve him. Matter of fact, if you don't, we're going to chop your houses down. Make them a dunghill. He liked to use that, by the way. He made that threat quite often. Amazing. But it was through the fire that God became known to others. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't need to know. They knew who God was. But others saw God through that. In verse 27 of the Daniel chapter 3, it says, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. What an amazing thing God did. We love to sit out on my back porch in a fire, in the evenings especially. I just love it. It's incredibly peaceful. But you know what's always interesting? If we sit out there for very long, when we come in, Do you know what our clothes smell like? Campfire. Now, I don't mind it. She might, but I don't particularly mind it. I don't care if the whole house smells like campfire, right? But these guys came out of the fire, and their clothes didn't even smell like they'd been in a fire. Amazing. The fourth truth is it was in the fire that their binding was removed. See, they were bound when they went into the fire, but the king makes a point. They're walking around. They're loose. Verse 23 says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 25 says, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. It's in the fire that the binding was removed. Rebecca or Jessica figured out that there were some things that she really didn't need. And the fire kind of took those from her, and she realized, oh, I really didn't need those. Another truth that we see from this story, it was in the fire that they learned to be still. You say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean learn to be still? Okay. If you were thrown in the midst of a fire and you were bound, and the moment you got in the fire, the binding was broken free, what would have your tendency been? Boom, I'm out of here. Where's the open door? I mean, so far we're okay, but this can't last, right? I mean, that's what we would think. But they would have missed some things, wouldn't they? The Bible says they were loose, walking in the midst of the fire. That's amazing. They learned to just be still in the midst of it. The truth is, for most of us in this room, when we go through a difficulty, we want it over yesterday. That's what we want it done. And it's the sooner the better. Instead of, let's just learn to fellowship with God in the midst of it. Letter F. This one is more implied, but I think it was in the fire that they drew close to each other. Because the king is looking in and he can see all four of them. Now, I don't know how big this thing was. I think it was probably the fire that built this statue, and this statue was mammoth. But when the king looked in, apparently he didn't see a bunch of men scattered around, but they were together. There were four men right there. They drew close to each other. And lastly, it was through the fire that they were promoted. Now, this doesn't always happen. Sometimes God takes us through difficulties and we can't see all that's happening around us. In these guys' cases, the Bible says in chapter 3 and verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I wonder if we could talk to them and say, would you go through the fire again? I think I know the answer to that. Because in the fire, they were able to teach others about God. They were able to see God. They were to communicate Him to other people. It was all kinds of things they learned that they could not have learned otherwise. So, are you allowing the fire to purify you? You may not be going through a physical fire, but for most of us, we go through difficulty at some time or another. What are you doing with it? The truth is, unfortunately, many of us just gripe about it. Can you imagine these three guys standing in the midst of the fire going, can you believe that God actually let us be thrown in the midst of the fire? What? I can't believe that. I mean, are you having any asthma problems in here? There's a lot of smoke. I mean, we get into all this stuff. I'm making fun of people who have asthma, by the way. I'm just saying, we get into a mode of complaining about, instead of looking around us at the miracle of what was happening. As I said, the fire that destroyed my home as a boy turned out to be a blessing. My dad received more money than he had sold the trailer for to begin with. A number of the items that we had were pretty wore out, and we got brand new ones. It worked out pretty good. for us. Sometimes God does that. But how do you view a fire? How will you view a fire after it's passed? Jesus was born to pay the penalty for our sin. He doesn't want you to have to pay that punishment yourself. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's going to take you through difficulties so that He can purify you, if you'll let Him. The fact is, we're going to go through difficulties anyway. Just a matter of what we're going to do with it when it's all said and done. Father, we thank You for the powerful testimony of this play and the music. We're grateful that Your Word gives us truth to help us to avoid the penalty of a place called hell, to purify us through difficulties, to exalt You in the process as these three Hebrew children did. Lord, I have no idea what the spiritual needs are in this room tonight, but You know. And would You meet those? Would Your Holy Spirit come and tap on the shoulder of the people who specifically need You tonight? And we'll thank You for that. Would you just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed? Our choir is going to quietly sing in just a moment. I want to ask you, friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you allowed Jesus to pay the penalty for your sin? That's why He came. He was born to die so that He could pay our penalty. And if you haven't, boy, we'd love to introduce you to Him tonight. If you'd say, Pastor, the truth is, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never repented of my sin and trusted Him and Him only. I would love to get some more information about that. We'd love to share it with you. Could I pray with you tonight? We won't embarrass you. But would you just slip up your hand and say, you know what, I don't know that. I have not accepted that penalty for my sin, but I'd like to get some more information about it. Could I pray with you? Anyone like that? Christian, how are you responding to your fire? Are you allowing it to purify you? Are you grumbling and complaining through it?